Hey there, thanks for listening. I am Wouter Vertogen and this is the Freelancer Talk, a show where freelancers, artists, creators and entrepreneurs share their stories, struggles and best lessons learned while launching and managing their own businesses.
Hi guys, welcome on this episode. As you can see, I am not Wouter. Surprise! I'm Alex from Dancers FAQ podcast. It is a podcast giving health information, keys for action and motivation, as well as tips for a successful career and awesome life. We decided to do an episode in common with Wouter. We're both freelancers, we're both entrepreneurs, and we're both dancers. So here we are. We didn't know where this episode was going to take us, so it was a little bit of a free ride, this one, but it was really, really cool. You'll get to know about us, why we started our podcast, and how we navigate through our freelancer's life, and much more. I'm not going to reveal everything in this introduction. A little reminder, you probably already know about it, but it's always good to remind it to you guys. If you want to support the podcast, the best way to do it is to follow it on Instagram, talk about it to your friends and colleagues, and make sure you subscribe to the channel on the app you're using. Enjoy. Ciao, ciao.
I think it's going to be so fun to interview each other at the same time.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, so who's going to go first? Who's going to go?
Ladies first.
All right. Yes.
So just as an introduction, so we know who we are and our listeners can know who we both are, I would like to know what is exactly the Freelancer Talk project, like the big picture, and also the actual event that made you start this new adventure? Because there's always a key event or something that happens in your life when you start that kind of journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically Corona, I guess. the start of the pandemic in 2020. So my name is Wouter, and I mean, the fun thing is we're doing this joint podcast. So it's going to be released on your podcast, which is Dancers FAQ, and mine, which is The Freelancer Talk. Anyway, for your listeners, my name is Wouter. And The Freelancer Talk is basically what happened is that, you know, Corona happened and I'm a freelance dancer and a freelance teacher. And, you know, all my work was gone and there, you know, my money went and all of it. And here in the Netherlands, I'm from the Netherlands. I live in Rotterdam. And what happened is that we could get government funding and government support, let's say. But a lot of people from my circle here didn't really know how to get that and what the rules were because a lot was in Dutch. And so I helped a lot of people out. And this really came back to the source of one of my issues I've had with freelancing from the start. I've been a freelancer for 4 years, is that you know, a lot of people don't know how to find resources or don't have the education or the knowledge that's needed to be a freelancer. And, you know, I think it's like 75% of all people in the culture and art scene is freelance. So, you know, we're talking about a lot of people. I just really missed that in my education. So what happened is that I basically felt the need to start a platform that would share resources, which educate young freelancers and would connect freelancers together. So it started with a podcast, and that's slowly changing into a bigger platform with masterclasses, with live events, with a Freelancer Talk app where you can network and connect with people and showcase your work. And it's a big project that I'm slowly, just growing, basically, actually. And that's why I do these podcasts as well, you know, because first of all, I love to talk with other freelancers to understand what their struggle is. I think everybody's story is valid, and everybody's story has a certain, there's always something to get from someone's story. So, and everything is teachable and valuable for people. And that's what I do with the podcast, basically. And I think that's also a little bit what you do with your podcast, but then in a different kind of way. So maybe I will bounce this question back to you, and maybe you could give a kind of like an introduction of who you are and what you are doing and what your podcast is about.
Yes, sure. So same but different. My name is Alex. I'm French and I'm based in Berlin. I just moved here 2 weeks before the lockdown. Amazing timing.
Oh, God.
And I launched a podcast also during the lockdown. It's something that I was thinking about for a little while. I didn't know if it was going to be a podcast or something else. But I felt that as dancers, we were struggling comparing to other athletes, for example, to find resources, guidance, as you mentioned. And I was a little bit frustrated about that, that no one was helping me when I was injured, when I was looking for motivation, inspiration. I had to do everything on my own. And then I turned that into a positive adventure. I was like, okay, let's just contact the people that really inspire you and make other people know them. Because if they helped you in a way, maybe they can help others. So it started like that. And then I thought, oh, why not podcasts? You know, I wasn't listening to podcasts before. And during the lockdown, I discovered that format and I became an addict. I was literally listening to 3 to 4 hours of podcast every single day.
Wow.
And then, yeah, the adventure started. So it's not like you about the industry, like the business, the freelance side of it, but it's more general. Like I have some subjects about health, about motivation, inspiring stories too, about choreographers, some artists, some other dancers and so on. So it's very, very wide. That's why I called it Dancers FAQ. It's like all these questions that you ask yourself frequently.
Ask questions. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. How was that for you to, you know, go on this like different journey all of a sudden? What have you learned so far from it?
Yeah. Well, to start with, I thought it was going to be a short time, you know, that lockdown. So I was very excited about everything. I was like, oh, this is going to be 2 or 3 months to experience some new stuff. It's going to be cool. I just moved to Germany. I was like, it's going to be the time to learn German. So I was very excited about new projects. Well, then it's, you know, the rest of the story. It ended up to be really longer than what we thought. But with the podcast, so it started very naturally. Like I contacted people that I knew or people that inspired me. And it really gave me that contact that was missing during lockdown because I wasn't seeing anyone. I was with my boyfriend, so that was cool. But then apart from that, I wasn't seeing anyone. And having these interviews every week or every second week made me meet people and laugh and exchange about a lot of different things. And each of them gave me so much energy, so much knowledge and excitement. You know, they were so inspiring also because I was interviewing people from all over the world. And obviously, each time after the interview, the question was, oh, how is the lockdown in your country? You know, because I had people from Thailand, from Australia, from Chile, from all over the world. So that was really inspiring. And right now, so I stopped the podcast for like 3 months because things started again, like theaters reopened. So I had a little break like you for during the summer here. So this is my first interview back. And I missed it. Yeah, because this is really something I enjoy. Yeah, that's for sure.
I really recognize myself in your story because I had completely the same. I wasn't really seeing so many people. And I didn't really start my podcast in the first lockdown. I just started it in September because I did a lot of preparation because I was thinking, you know, what do I do with this platform? How do I start it? What kind of information do I put out there? And then I came in the end to the podcast format to kind of kickstart the platform with. But around that time, I really also enjoyed it a lot to just talk with a lot of people and to have that conversation and to, you know, to discuss certain topics that are a issue or a struggle for a lot of people. Now, I think I mentioned the word struggle. So I, you know, we're both doing questions. So I thought maybe now I mentioned this word. You know, obviously going to Berlin to a new country and then having Corona was obviously a struggle. Do you, would that be kind of like your biggest struggle as a freelancer till today? Or do you have other types of struggles that you, because you're a freelance dancer as well, you know, are there some struggles that you have faced while being a freelancer? And if yes, how did you overcome them?
Yeah. Well, the whole year 2020, I would say end of 2019 and 2020 was probably the hardest year of my life, honestly, because so I moved to Berlin because we had the Yellow Jacket protest in France. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I was working. I had a contract on Saturdays, and you would never know if they were gonna go on strike on the next Saturday. So I had my projects canceled every Friday, you know, for the next Saturday for the whole year. And I think I did only two contracts on Saturday, and I had the whole year to do. So I was like, okay, I'm really struggling. This is enough. I want to try something else. And my best friend is from Berlin, and she was like, okay, come in January. Because January is usually the quiet months of the year, like August. So I was like, okay, I'll go there. I'm going to audition and stuff. And unfortunately, so at the end of December, my dad suddenly died. And that was another shock. So Yellow Jacket, then I lost my dad. And I didn't know if I wanted to go to Berlin still. And I was like, okay, no, he wouldn't like that. So... Three days after the funeral, I was taking my flight to Berlin.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, so it was really, really tough. But then finally I found some contracts and I liked the city and stuff. And 1 month later, I decided to move here. So it was like, okay, this is good. This is going to be nice after this struggle, you know. Mm-hmm. And then COVID happened. And I'm like, okay. And then I lost everything. I lost my contracts. I was also working in the community management industry, but for sports events. So I also lost that because I was doing both, you know, in this sort of gaps that I had as a freelancer artist. I had these community management contracts that got canceled too. Yeah. So it's probably the worst year of my life, this 2020.
Yeah.
But still, I don't know where, like right now I have to say I'm proud of myself because I don't know how I did it because it was really awful, but somehow I kept on going, you know. I launched a podcast. I started a yoga platform so I would practice with other people, with other dancers and friends online. And yeah, I mean, each time you struggle with something, somehow life is stronger and you end up coming out of there with more power. And it might be difficult, but that's also life, you know. It's like the ocean. In order to surf the wave, sometimes you have to go like to the bottom and then come back up. Yeah, as a freelancer, I think it's not really a time that was difficult for me. It's to deal with rejection. That sometimes, you know, you do one casting, two casting, three, 10, and it's always no, no, no. And you end up with that period of time when there's a gap and you're like, shit, should I still do that job or is that really for me? So it's not really a period of time that it was difficult. It's more to deal with all these different times where you have to deal with too many rejection, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a struggling time, yeah. And somehow I think doing something else on the side, something in parallel, keeps you sane. I only did only dance for 1 year. And then I was like, oh my God, no. Because then I have to accept things that I don't like. And I'm always like, oh my God, going to bed. Am I going to have money for the next month? And I'm like, no, I don't want to live like that. So I started to do other things on the side that I like, you know, online with social media and everything. Working in the sports and events industry, fashion industry. So it was enriching also for me. So that's how I dealt with that.
I really like that you're saying that, because that is for me also something that now I've been doing since the past, you know, 1.5 year, 2 year, not just dance, but also other stuff that I also feel passionate about and get energy from and that I really like. And I feel like I develop myself in that. Somehow it takes a little bit this pressure off dealing with failure within, you know, not failure, but what you said, you know, like getting rejected or not getting work and then having stress and then having nothing to do for 2 months. And then you're like, okay, how am I going to make rent and all that kind of stuff? But then you have something else to lean on. I think this is, I read somewhere that actually a lot of freelancers or in general, you know, like now I'm talking general freelancers, many of them, they actually, you know, offer two types of different services, or they master two different types of skills and they do that both at the same time. So maybe you do dancing and then maybe you do teaching or something, or maybe you do dancing and you do something completely else, but that you always feel that it just broadens your chances of continuing, I guess. But I really like that you said that. I feel like that too. Oh my God, we're like the same person.
So I have some question also for you. Going back to what you mentioned in your introduction, you know, you were saying that you were struggling to find resources, to find guidance. Where did you find all that for yourself?
Wow. I think if I may be really honest, I think kind of what, like, wherever I could have gotten it. So that would be, you know, teachers from when I was in school. But then, you know, when people teach you stuff in school, and that's not applicable to the real world at all, because the real world is something completely different. So really in the beginning, I was really struggling. Now, I used my best friend Google for everything. I'm always like, I'll ask him, you know. So it's Google a lot. There are some platforms out there as well that help you be a help you understand being a freelancer or what that means. Or there's platforms for dance, for example, like where can you find jobs? But it's so spread out. The other thing, what was really one of the biggest thing, is just trial and error. You know, my taxes, I made 2 years mistakes in my bookkeeping, and I did have a bookkeeper. He said, you got to change this. So the next year I changed it, and then some stuff was again dramatic. So then I had to redo it again. But and now I'm like, okay, I'm not doing it. I got like a software service to do it, you know, because I'm like, okay, I think for me, I just really hate taxes. I get so anxious from it. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to find a really easy solution for that. But a lot were friends and professionals who were in the field already for a longer while, especially dealing with rejection. How do you deal with that? You know, it's through a lot of conversation, a lot of talking that you, sometimes you do know things yourself, or you do feel like, okay, there is some hidden stuff that you have picked up throughout your life. You just need to access it. So I have learned a lot through conversation, through reading. And obviously I'm also studying. So I'm studying also a bit, you know, the business side of things. And I think this is what I then want to give in return. I would like to be personal. I could be a guide, but more of like, the freelancer talk. In my head, the freelancer talk is like the guide for people to go to find all the things that you need as a creative freelancer. Because it's for creative freelancers. You know, if you work in the financial sector, it's very different if you're a freelancer than if you are working as an actor or working as a dancer. Because just the job ranges are very different. And I felt really like then, so I found a lot of information that was for the general entrepreneur or freelancer or people, you know, doing business, but it wasn't really entailed to creative freelancers, because, you know, there are so many dancers who say yes to shitty paid stuff and that's, for example, not really something that happens in other types of scenes, because they can very clearly set their budget. But here, it works very different in our scene, I think. Maybe a little bit back on freelancing. Obviously, you know, like my podcast is about like freelancing. Yeah. What does freelancing mean to you? And you could answer that in all kinds of different ways.
Yeah. So to start with, I thought freelancing, it was being your own boss. And that's what I liked about it. But it turned out to be really more complex because as a freelancer, then when you get a contract, then when you work for a production or a sports event, then it's just actually being like an employee, but with really a lot of disadvantages, we have to say, honestly, because then you're not covered with your health insurance. You don't get any retirement money for it. And now freelancing sort of became having people that work for cheaper money, you know, that's one of the side of it. But then because come on, I'm still a freelancer and I love being a freelancer because it gives you freedom. And with the dance industry, it meant for me not working on days where I wasn't prepared to work, take some days off. If I want to work 10 hours on that day because I feel super inspired, then I work 10 hours. And I had jobs, you know, when I had to go to a company and I was there from 9 to 5. And this is horrible because maybe at 2, you're done with your day, but somehow you need to stay these 3 extra hours because everybody's staying there. Or some days you need to work more, you feel inspired, but you need to leave because they're going to close the building, you know? And all that. So I could never work in that way. I was always unhappy. So freelancing was just the way to go for me. But more than that, I think it's maybe the occasion to build then your projects, which I'm doing right now. So it's the next step for a freelancer. It's maybe having your own company, you know, in a way, and becoming really your own boss, meaning that you maybe pay people to work on your projects, you know, and you're not the little piece that comes and is added to bigger projects. But you have your own projects, you choose your collaborators, you choose who you work with, when, under what conditions. And I think that's really the most valuable thing today, because the only thing that you cannot extend is time. Like, you have a certain amount of time on this earth and you have to make the most of it, because if you leave one day, like, and you did something that made you unhappy, this day is gone, you know? So like, this really came into my mind, like, okay, time is the most valuable thing I have now. So everything I do, every minute I spend, it has to be worth something, and I have to be happy about that. Freelancing gives you that freedom, you know, that key to access this.
Yeah, and that control over it as well. Yeah. I think that's a very interesting concept, you know, of the whole time thing, because I think that is exactly also why I love freelancing so much, is because I really get to decide my time. Now, mm-hmm. I know that there is also to, for example, my podcast, and probably also to your podcast, there's a lot of younger people listening, you know, like next generation freelancers or next generation dancers. And I know that in the beginning, freelancing is always very hard because, you know, not a lot of people have the luxury to get a lot of projects after each other.
Yeah.
What would you say to them? Because a lot of those people, they get very stressed and they're like, okay, then I would work for less money, or then I would work for free, or all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But you're kind of, you know, you're breaking down the industry, you're breaking down the norm. What would you say to those younger people listening to our podcasts?
I would say, don't be afraid to say no. Because honestly, once you start a contract and you feel that you're underpaid, you're not going to give the best of yourself. And this image that you're going to give, people are going to remember it. So you have to make sure you put all the conditions for you that allow you to be the best version of yourself. And if you're underpaid, you're not going to be the best version of yourself. So don't be afraid to say no, and don't stay in front of your screen on LinkedIn or sending CV. This is not how the industry of freelancing works. So it's important to go to festivals, theater openings, completely work for free. For example, do a solo in an, you know, in a festival. Show your work, be active on social media, do the things that you love. But if you start doing something that you don't really like or something where you're underpaid, the image that you're gonna send to people is gonna be the wrong one. You're not gonna be showing your real talent and the way you interpret dance or music or whatever your art is. So don't be scared to say no, first tip. Second tip, put you out there. Go to festivals, meet people, take workshops. I know it's money investment, but honestly, then people remember your dance, your singing, your music. Go out there, meet the people from the industry, sending CVs and doing improv alone in your studio so you have that nice video to send is not going to get you a job. So yeah, I think these are the two most important tips that I could give today from my experience.
Yeah, it's the last one is basically, you know, network and really put, but like do it in such a way that people recognize you. It's, yeah, I agree with that. And I think, you know, that's a bit what I'm trying to do with the freelancer talk with the app that will come so that people have a better type of network that's more to the creative industries. Because, you know, LinkedIn is like, it's all over the place. So you're not going to get so far with that. Really, take workshops, put yourself out there. And if you then have to work for free, then really understand, what am I going to get out of that? You know, am I going to get a great exposure, or am I going to get a really good name on my CV? Or is there other people or other choreographers around that festival that are going to come to the show that will watch me? I think you should always take that a bit into account.
Yeah. And also follow your gut feeling. Because yeah, it might be good for someone, for a friend, but if it doesn't feel right for you, don't force yourself to do it. Because we dance, we sing, we act with our guts, you know, as artists. So yeah, if you do something but that doesn't feel right, then again, you're not going to be the best version of yourself.
Yeah, that's true.
So I had another question for you. Because we mentioned how we started the project, you know, with the lockdown and everything. Now that things are going back to normal, well, fingers crossed, how do you feel, you know, as a freelancer, as a dancer, as an entrepreneur? Like, how do you see 2022? What are you going to do?
I'm all over the place. This is such an interesting thing, because I really think that when the lockdown happened, to take it already back from before, I wanted to be a dancer, I wanted to be like an architect, and then I wanted to be this. So I went into dance when I was 15, that I really said, okay, I'm really going to go for this. So then I just went into it, pre-educations, and then I did the school, like the academy, and then I went dancing. But I always had in the back of my mind, around my 30s, I kind of like want to do another studies. Because I always wanted to be my own boss. And second of all, because I didn't really want to keep dancing for other people. So I always had the idea of like maybe having my own production company, or maybe, you know, like becoming a choreographer. But then as much as the year progressed and I started thinking of having my own production company, I was like, I want to learn more about business. I want to learn more about, the marketing, the sales, the management side of things, because obviously I wanted to be my own boss and have my own whatever. But I always said, I'll keep dancing until I'm 30 and then I'll deal with that. But then obviously Corona happened and I was like, I have the time. Wouter, you got to do this right now because this is the moment. And then the idea of the freelancer talk came. So I have been going with that because obviously I haven't really, you know, I'm teaching a lot now because I'm much more teaching. I really switched my mindset. Like, okay, I'm putting dance on hold, which is okay. And I'm focusing on other things that will be of use, or I will plant seeds that will continue to grow. And when I'm 30, it's going to maybe be something. Mm. And so I'm keeping this mindset. I started stuff and I'm going to continue working on it. But at the same time, you know, things have reopened. I feel much more the urge to dance a lot more. And I'm saying like, I'm just going to continue with that as well. I'm going to follow, and what happens next, that happens next. And I'm going to keep building on my on the freelancer talk and on my studies on the side, because anyway, it's all online, so I can do it wherever I want to do it. And I'm going to see where dance takes me, and you know, if it still does take me somewhere or not. But yes, obviously putting in a bit of the work, because if I don't do any of the work, it's not going to happen. But this is also something that I had within dance. I love really the commercial side of dance, but I also love really the contemporary artistic side of dance. Like, I dance the musicals and hip-hop crews, but I also dance, you know, in like very contemporary pieces, because I did a contemporary school and I dance in Switzerland and in a company and stuff. So I've always had these two, like, do I choose this or do I choose that? Do I choose this or do I choose that? And then I remember one of my teachers saying, because then I was busy with how do I fuse that? But then I was like, I don't want to fuse it, because I think on itself, it's already amazing. I don't need to fuse any of it. So I remember one of my teachers saying, like, Wouter, you don't need to do one or the other or fuse it. You can do both and just see, because they both make you grow. And I keep this this mindset and this thought, this tip that I got also for right now. I'm going to continue with the freelancer talk, because that is also really helping me grow in my own dance career or mastering my own business. And I am going to continue with dance because I like it and I don't really want to stop it. Maybe I'm not full-time dancing, at least I'm full-time teaching, but I think sometimes there is more ways that you can walk your life, that, you know, like your path and your career path, instead of just following one thread through time.
And did you also think about the Freelancer Talk project financially wise? Did you think of, okay, because you mentioned before, okay, with Corona, all my projects disappeared, my money was gone. Did you think about it like, oh, I need to find something that has more stable income, or that I can do in the long term?
Yeah, well, first of all, that's kind of like my, because obviously I'm also studying marketing and I also create websites for people. So this is something that I do on the side. I'm doing social media management. I am helping people with marketing campaigns and with building their websites and web shops. So this is a side thing, a side hustle for me. Also freelance. Oh my God, everything is freelance, but it's kind of like my side hustle. That is the other money generator, let's say, which would balance out my dance. So then I would, you know, if I have, I'm going to do for a couple of companies, social media management. So then I have a stable income. And then on top of that, I can do the dance. Mm-hmm. Freelancer Talk was never about money, was never about creating something that is generating money. It has to generate money, because otherwise I cannot keep it up. So of course there is a money model in it, but Freelancer Talk was really giving, about giving back and about creating that platform where people can connect and find support and educate. So obviously the app will have advertisements and all that kind of stuff, so it does generate money, but I don't think it's going to generate money in the first 3 years. So I'm putting my money inside that, which is a choice, but you know, it's an investment that you kind of make. But it wasn't a short-term plan. It wasn't short-term, okay, Corona happened, I need something else, Freelancer Talk, I'm going to generate money with this. That's not what the intention was at all. Long-term, hopefully, yes, but we'll see how that happens.
Yeah. If you had a magic stick and you could make everything perfect, have the money you need, things working how you want them to, where do you see yourself, or how do you picture yourself in 5 years? With all that, the Freelancer Talk, your freelancing in the community management industry, in the dance industry. Who is Wouter in 5 years?
Yeah, it's crazy because, you know, the thing is right now is that I turned to freedom to talk into like an actual real business. So it's a real like lawful organization. So technically, I'm the CEO of the Freelancer Talk, which is like boss ass, you know? I'm like, okay, that's cool. So I'm going to continue on this line. I also had this idea because obviously I've worked for a lot of dance companies and theaters and operas and all of that. And I also see something, one of the other big things that I see is kind of like not really utilized as correctly and as good as I feel like it could in the cultural scene is the way we market things. And so I had this other vision of creating a digital marketing agency that would help companies, Stadttheaters and operas and whatever, people in the arts from small to big, to help them market their performances in the right way. Meaning there is a lot of different things that you could be doing as a marketing trick. So instead of the old school marketing. So I would love to do that. And obviously the Freelancer Talk, if, you know, if that takes off, it's probably going to require all of my attention and work. So I don't know if I will be dancing in 5 years, but that's also okay because I found passion in other things. And I did do some crazy dance stuff, you know. I did do my 4 years around the entire world. So still, I don't look back and say, I'm disappointed. I did a dance education. I never did something with it. Actually, doing the stuff that I wanted to do and then learning from that, that, wow, there is a lot wrong in this field. I need to give back. And these are all the projects that I'm creating, marketing agency, Freedom to Talk. It's all about giving back to the cultural scene. So I think, and that's, I think, also in my nature. I'm always a person that wants to help. I care more about others if they do good than sometimes myself. So I think that would be me in 5 years, I guess. Well, yeah. And you, who is Alex in 5 years?
Well, I am launching a business very, very soon in 10 days, which is called Magic Ovaries. You find some content about woman health on Dancers FAQ, and I've been studying. So during the lockdown, so for a year and a half, the Symptothermal Method. So it's going to be a course that gives women the opportunity to understand their menstrual cycle and then be able to thrive, you know, really be free from acne, from premenstrual syndromes, for a painful period, from artificial hormones. And this method can be used as a natural contraceptive or as a help to conceive. So it's just gonna give the knowledge back to women that maybe we lost all this connection to understand your body. It's like when you're hungry, you understand that, oh, I need food. But when it comes from, when it comes to the menstrual cycle, not so many people understand what the body is telling them. Like they don't know how to interpret the signs. So yeah, again, it's I'm going to offer guidance, education, tools, resources, and it's going to be on the 15th. Yes, so it's very soon. So I see me in 15 years with a very successful Magic Ovaries business. I want to stay in the dance industry. I love creating. So choreographing, I think, is even bigger for me than performing for others. Mm-hmm. Even if I love it, like if I had to choose, I think I would choose choreography over the performance. So I have my own dance company that is called Polypus, and that is based in France. And so I see this project growing also. So it's all about enjoying your life, understanding what's going on with your body, connecting to others. I know it sounds like La Vie en Rose, like everything is pink and happy and everything, but I'm really that kind of person. Like I love when there's joy, you know, and love and well-being. So all my projects are like go towards that goal, you know, with Dancers FAQ, with Magic Ovaries and Compagnie Polypus. Yeah.
Yeah. I think with me, you know, just to kind of like hook on you, I you know, I also start all of these things and you do the same. And that's kind of like also because we, you know, you're freelancers, so you have this time and that also requires you to start something new. I do feel like that being a freelancer also offers you to, not really offers, but kind of like helps you to transfer or to, you know, to go to the next thing. What is after dance? And this is something that, for example, a lot of dancers around their 30s, 35 struggle with if they've always been just single dancer. And then all of a sudden, what do you do after if you want to quit? You know, I think freelancing is a way of, you know, it's a good way of transitioning and plant seeds for later. And I would encourage everybody to find something on the side, just like how you have done it and how I have done it, and to take that into something else. And you know what I said with the freelancer talk, because I was investing in it a lot, I said the worst thing that can happen is that this thing completely fails, but I have gotten so much knowledge about how to, you know, set up a business from 0 to 100 and how to do the whole thing, so I can take that in my pocket to the next thing. So really also as freelancer or as dancer or whatever, you always learn from failure as well. Yeah.
Oh my God, I have so many things to say from on what you just said. May I?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, cool. So first thing, I don't think I have the same vision as you with this transition, you know, from dance to something else.
Mm-hmm.
Because, for example, for me, I really want dance to be part of my life until I die. Like at this point, like, you can perform and be 40, 50, 60 on stage. It's just that you don't perform as if you were 18 years old, obviously.
But then there is also, for example, a lot of people who do kind of want to stop. So maybe I'm talking more about those people who find themselves, because kind of like I always thought that I also wanted to continue dance and choreograph and all of that until I was 60. I'm just changing it because I have found other interests. But I know, for example, from my boyfriend, he wants to continue that. So he finds his other way how to do that.
Yeah.
But then freelancing still, because he would, for example, like to be a director or have his own company or whatever.
Yeah.
But then I think because you're a freelancer early on and you understand what it is to do this for yourself, it's easier to do that later for others instead of going from nothing. I think transition in different types of ways, I think.
I get what you mean. Yeah. But also rather than transitioning, you can just make a big soup with all like many different ingredients. And I had this teacher, you know, sometimes I have like a teacher says something to me, a sentence, and I keep it for the rest of my life. There's sentences I have that I received that I heard when I was maybe 12, you know.
Yeah.
So this one, I think I was 16 or 17, something like this. One of my teachers said, you know, life is like a table. It needs 4 legs. So then when one breaks, you still have 3 and the table can still be used. You cannot just put everything, like put all your money on one thing or bet everything on one thing. So I think that's more what I meant, you know, talking about dance, is that it can be part of your life. And it can be really your life project and you don't want to stop or transition. But I think it's healthy to have other projects on the side, things that you enjoy in case something wrong happens, you know, in case you get injured or you don't want your life to collapse because this dream has to end or to be a bit different, you know, to reinvent itself. Just see your life as a table, and maybe one leg is dance, then the other leg is another job, then the other leg is your family, then the other leg is your hobbies. I don't know. It can be different for everyone.
Is it also, wait, because now I hear you say that, and I think what is, especially for, you know, creatives, and I think especially for dancers who want to continue, it's about building a sustainable career, and then sustainable in all kinds of different ways, as if like, okay, maybe you still perform or maybe you teach or, and also I think it's interesting because I know someone who's around like 35, 36, and she kind of like, she's like, I want to continue in dance, but I don't know where my connection with dance is anymore, for example. So I think that's also a good discovery to make. What is your relationship to dance? And at a certain age, is that from a choreography perspective? Is that from a still dancer's perspective? Is that from a direction perspective or organizational perspective? I think me, it's from a educational perspective, because I don't see myself moving away from dance at all in that sense, because I would see myself, you know, educate the next generation in schools about how to successfully kickstart your freelance career or something like that, because I would be the so-called expert on it or something. So I think then I still have a relationship with dance. It's just very different. Yeah. So yeah, that's a whole discovery I think you could create. But I love the whole soup and all of that, because my life is a big soup. I do all kinds of, I think my table has like 8 legs at this moment. It's like all over the place. It's a big table. Offers a lot of seats as well. I really want to hook back to like really early what you said, is that put yourself out there, go to workshops and all of that, you know, like this tip that you gave to a lot of young freelancers. This also really helps with you feeling like you're part of a community. And I think, you know, you could see all of us freelancers, all of us freelance dancers, freelance actors, whatever, we're all part of this one big company, which is freelance somehow, you know? So you are a community. You have your professional support system with each other. That's not something that I just wanted to put out there as well.
No, you're right. And then you walk into each other so many times, you know, in really surprising places with friends from all over the world. You see them again in another country, in another workshop. Maybe you didn't exchange numbers and you see each other again and you're like, what are you doing here? And then you're always connecting with new people or reconnecting with people you met on the other side of the world. And that's so nice because, yeah, you use the right words. It's a community.
Yeah. I love that. I really love seeing, you know, my network as not just network, but also as a community, because because the difference between a network and a community is that within a community, people support each other. A network is not always specifically about support, but just about, you know, getting to know people and thinking of creating a community for yourself. And you have your family, which is a community, but you also have your other people in your field or your friends or whatever. That helps a lot, I think. That has helped me a lot with dealing with moving countries and doing short-term projects in other countries. Always thinking about this community vibe, I guess.
So if people want to be part of your community, how can they find you?
How can they find me? I mean, everybody can just create an account on thefreelancertalk.com. And then app will come very soon and all of that. But with the Freelancer Talk, we're planning to do a lot of live events as well. So we're actually going to plan something in Berlin, in Amsterdam, and I think in one other city to get people together and be part of a community. And then also planning to have speakers so that you could learn from a specific topic that is related to something, and that you can even participate in discussions, which is all what you can do on the online platform and the app as well. But also I want that in the offline world, because that's the best way still how to connect with people is physically. Follow the Freelancer Talk wherever, on social media, and just, make an account, of course. And I am really excited for your business launch. And I really like the name as well. It's really fun. I mean, and I can really understand what it immediately means, you know? But I wish you really good luck. And how can people find your new business and your next, how can people be in touch with you if they want to have some guidance from you?
Yes. So the website is going to be launched on the 15th. So it's going to be magicovaries.com. And then super soon, there's going to be also social media accounts and everything. But right now I'm still working on all that. It's really like rush hour for me at the moment because the deadline is just tomorrow. And then, of course, Dancers FAQ, you can find the podcast on all the major broadcasting platforms. We have an Instagram account. And if you don't have any of the apps to listen to the podcast, you can just go to the website, dancersfaq.com, and listen to the episode just right there.
Great. Well, I had a really fun time chatting, and I feel like we have, even though we do things a lot of in a different way and we're going different ways, we're still, I think you and I both really utilized this whole Corona period to really kickstart some fun, interesting projects. And just want to say thank you because I had a really nice time chatting with you.
Yeah, thank you too. It was really cool to do that format. It's really nice to be able to have a bigger exchange, you know, because usually I don't talk that much.
No,
I
me
ask
neither.
Questions.
Yeah, I just let the other people do the talking. So it's fun. Well, yeah, I guess that was it then.